The one verse that tonight's Good Friday message is based on is Matthew 27, verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45 says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Have you ever experienced real darkness? Like that deep darkness. You know, maybe you've been driving on a backcountry road at night and you had the courage to turn your headlights off just for a moment. And that deep darkness just overwhelms you. Or maybe you've been backpacking in a remote place and just for a few steps turned off your headlamp. That total darkness is terrifying. Or maybe you're a true city person and you've only experienced a power outage in your house, but you've had to go a few minutes without artificial light, and it's frightening. If you've had any of those experiences, then you know that deep darkness is absolutely overwhelming. It's completely terrifying. It pervades every human sense. And during the 3 hours that the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, that kind of deep, overwhelming darkness covered the entire land. Now, leading up to the darkness on the day of his death, the Lord Jesus Christ was abandoned by his closest friends. Then he was condemned by the Roman authorities, betrayed by his own Jewish countrymen, tortured, and crucified on a criminal's cross. But along with the excruciating pain of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was also the object of shameful mockery. They mocked him for claiming to be the eternal king from David's line. They mocked him for claiming to be God with us, the true temple. They mocked him for claiming to be the sinless Son of God, and they mocked him for claiming to be the Savior who seemed to not even be able to save himself from the horror of crucifixion. So there he was, the sinless Son of God, mocked and crucified. And then darkness fell. From noon to 3 p.m., there was darkness over the land. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus was crucified during the Jewish Passover festival, which always took place during a full moon. That's important to know because a lunar eclipse that might cause darkness like this can only occur during a new moon. This darkness was literal. It was supernatural. And that leads us to the big question that we're considering this Good Friday evening. Why the darkness? Why did darkness fall over the land for the 3 hours that the sinless Son of God hung on the cross? Why the darkness? Well, to begin to understand why darkness fell over the whole land when Jesus hung on the cross, we actually have to begin at the beginning of all things. See, by beginning at the beginning of all things, we see that darkness is not what was ultimately meant to be. In Genesis 1, 1 to 3, reading about the creation of the universe, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Light brings creation and life out of darkness. Darkness is not ultimately what is meant to be. But there is more to darkness than just that. To answer the question, why the darkness, we have to progress from the beginning of all things to the earliest parts of the Old Testament, where we begin to see that darkness is actually most often a sign of the holy God's judgment on human sin. See, early in the book of Genesis, the one true God who created everything out of nothing by saying, "Let there be light," chose one man named Abraham to be a father of a nation that was to be God's light in a dark world. But when Abraham's offspring were enslaved in Egypt, God sent plagues as his judgment upon Pharaoh. And one of the plagues was darkness. In Exodus 10, verse 22, we read, "So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days." 3 days of darkness in Egypt, 3 hours of darkness at the cross. The darkness was the holy God's judgment on Pharaoh's rebellion against him as the one true God. It was God's judgment on the idolatrous worship of Egypt and the slavery of God's people. The darkness was a sign of God's judgment on human sin. But then soon after lifting the darkness over Egypt, the one true God led his people out of slavery in Egypt and made a promise to be Israel's God and to have them as his special possession. God reaffirmed them as his light to the dark world. However, God warned them that if they rebelled against God, if they broke their covenant with him, if they went after other gods and worshiped them, then he would curse them. Just as he cursed Egypt. And the curse he promised was described as darkness. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 28 and 29, we read, "The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness." You see, the curse that God promised would come on his people if they turned away from him to worship idols was the same curse that fell on the land of Egypt, darkness. Darkness, he promised, would be a sign of his judgment on their sin. And they did rebel. They did break the covenant. They did turn and worship other gods. And so God brought the darkness of judgment. And that judgment came in the form of a conquering Babylonian army. But when that Babylonian army came as God's judgment on the people, the prophet Amos doesn't describe the judgment as an army. He describes it as darkness. Amos 8, verse 9. "And on that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon." Now that's the exact hour the sun went dark when Jesus was on the cross. "I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." Darkness. From God's plagues on idolatrous Egypt to his covenant curse on his rebellious people to the Babylonian conquest of Israel, it's all described as darkness because darkness is a sign of God's judgment on human sin. But God's judgment will not have the last word. Darkness will not have the last word. Through the final book of the Old Testament, God promised to overcome the darkness of his judgment with the light of his love. The prophet Malachi, in the final book of the Old Testament, prophesies, Malachi, 4 verse 2, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." God promised that light would overcome the darkness of his judgment on human sin. The Old Testament ends with a promise that God will send the light to overcome the darkness of his judgment on sinners. The ultimate promise at the end of the Old Testament is that light will come and darkness won't be able to overcome it. Now listen to the way that the New Testament begins. Listen to the way that the Gospel of John describes the incarnation, the taking on flesh of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He describes it as light that overcomes this dark world. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness is a sign of God's judgment on the world, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world who has come to overtake the darkness. And we crucified him. We crucified the light of the world. And when he hung on the cross, there was darkness over all the land for 3 hours. Matthew chapter 27. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Why the darkness? Why the darkness? If darkness is a sign of God's judgment, why did darkness fall over the land? If darkness is a sign of God's judgment on human sin, then why did darkness fall over the land when the sinless one was hanging on the cross? Why the darkness? Now, you might think that the darkness was a sign of God's ultimate judgment on us for crucifying the sinless Son of God, but that's ultimately not it. We can only answer the question, why the darkness, when we read the verse that follows the darkness. Look at Matthew 27, 45, and now with it, verse 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, darkness is a sign of God's judgment on human sin. Darkness is a sign of God's judgment, his forsaking of sinners. But when the sinless one cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We realize that the darkness fell over the land because God's judgment was falling on his Son. The darkness was over the land because God's judgment fell on his Son. Jesus, the sinless one, in the greatest act of exchange, went to the cross, the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. Jesus, the one who was the light, took the darkness of our judgment upon himself at the cross, so that if we believe in him, we will no longer walk in darkness, but we will experience the light of forgiveness of sins, a clean conscience, and eternal life forever. Darkness was over the land because God's judgment fell on his Son as he died in our place for our sins, so that we will never walk in darkness but have the light of eternal life. Why the darkness? Because we deserve eternal darkness for our sins. But the sinless Son of God took our place. And the darkness fell over the land because God's judgment fell on his Son, so that if we believe in him, the judgment will never fall on us. So now that we know that darkness was over the land because God's judgment fell on his son instead of us, what should we do? How should we respond? Well, let's allow the centurion once again to be our guide. In Matthew 27, we read, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" The only way to respond when we see that the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins fell on his son, that darkness was over the land because God's judgment fell on his son so that we would have the light of eternal life and forgiveness of sins, the only way we should respond is to exclaim with awe and wonder, like the centurion, "Truly he is the Son of God. Truly he is my only hope in life and in death. Truly I was in darkness. Truly I deserve the darkness of eternal judgment, but now through him I can have the light of forgiveness of sins, eternal life, a clean conscience, and a personal relationship with God through him." We should respond with the cry of faith, "Truly he is the Son of God and he is my Savior." And in just a few moments, I will give you a couple minutes of quiet so that you, perhaps even for the first time, can receive Jesus Christ, put your faith in him as the Son of God and your only hope in life and in death. But before we take a moment of silence, there is one other way. I want to urge all of us to respond. Now that we know that darkness fell over the land because God's judgment fell on his son instead of on us, we should all set our hope fully on the day when there will be no darkness ever again. You see, the Bible begins with darkness and God saying, "Let there be light." But the Bible concludes with a whole new creation, where there will never be darkness or night again. And that is our eternal hope. We read of it in Revelation 21 and 22. It says, "And the city," that is the new creation that's coming, "has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." If you approach that final day without Jesus, the Son of God, as your personal Savior, all you will have is darkness forever. But if you instead embrace Jesus Christ as the Son of God and your Savior, not only will all your sins be forgiven, but you will be welcomed into a new creation where all the night is banished forever. Friends, we live in a sad and dark world. But the sadness of this present time, it is not worth comparing with the eternal light that awaits us. Set your hope fully, not on the things of this sad world, but upon that eternal day when there will be no more darkness again, and the light of the Lamb will be our light, and we will reign with him forever. Set your hope there. It will never disappoint. So why the darkness? Darkness fell over the land because God's judgment fell on his son. And if you today will exclaim with the words of faith, "Surely he is the Son of God and my Savior," He will rescue you from the darkness of God's judgment. He will forgive all your sins, and he will give you the light of eternal life. So I want to give you just a few moments of silence right where you are to put your faith in him, to trust in him perhaps even for the first time. There's a sample prayer at the bottom of your Connect card that can help give you language to embrace Jesus as the Son of God and your Savior. You can let us know on the card if you have, and we'll follow up with you. During these next 2 minutes, don't let this moment pass you by. Embrace Jesus Christ as the Son of God and your Savior. And if you already believe in him, take this as a time to ask him to help you set your hope fully on the day of eternal light that is coming, so that you can rejoice even in the sad darkness of this world. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are the light of the world, that you have invaded the darkness of our sin and you paid it all, so that through you we can have the light of eternal life. Give us now the gift of faith to trust in you and to set our hope fully on that day when we will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God, you will be our light, and we will reign with you forever and ever. Amen.